Skagway and Whitehorse leaders met last week to talk tourism, mining, and power. And this year's Southeast Alaska's salmon harvest was over 4 times better than last year's. And a health executive that was fired last year after suggesting the coronavirus was a political conspiracy is now running Ketchikan's Tribal Health Clinic. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Mike Swayze. Those stories are up next. Last week, several Skagway municipal officials made a trip north to Whitehorse, the capital of Canada's Yukon Territory. The group attended 7 meetings in 2 days with Whitehorse leaders to share ideas on tourism, mining, and green energy. I talked with Skagway Assemblyperson Reba Hilton about the cross-border meetings. Okay, Reba, there were multiple meetings about tourism. Let's start there.
2 of the meetings were tourism-related, so it was really nice to touch base with our neighbors in the fact that their problems are our problems. They're having a lot of trouble with staffing, and there are a lot of businesses that are currently closed. And then they're also in need of that border opening for the vast number of cruise ship passengers that come to their smaller communities, specifically the Carcross area. We need that relief because if we were to get 1.2 million cruise ship visitors here, our infrastructure would be completely overwhelmed in our small community. So it's sort of this pressure relief valve to open that border. And it looks like next year is bound to be a pretty good year for cruise ship wise. So like I said, their problems are our problems. And if we could work together as much as possible to push the federal entities to open that border, that's something we'd like to do.
And you also talked with people from the mining industry, I understand.
The message that we brought to them was that we take over the port in 2023, and we're currently working on plans for the port for the future, specifically the ore dock. We just wanted them to know that we do have a placeholder for industry. And they were super excited to hear that, actually. So it was positive all the way around.
How was the idea of containerized ore shipments received?
Well, I think the message was that we would prefer containerization, but that's nothing that's solidified either. But as environmentally sound as something can be, would be our preference.
Okay, well, let's move on to that last set of meetings with the power company up there.
We met with Yukon Energy, and that one was a real exciting meeting as we discussed the possibility. And again, this is a super long-term plan, but it's and definitely in its infancy, but the possibility of bringing power down from the Yukon, solar power down specifically, to have cruise ships be able to plug into.
And how much electricity are they talking about bringing down to Skagway?
It would be enough to power 4 ships that should we need that.
Has there been talk from the cruise ship industry about wanting to plug in as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're looking to go as green as possible. So there is an interest there, and it would help secure Skagway's future as a viable port for them.
Is AP&T involved in this discussion?
They would definitely have to be involved in the discussion, yeah. So this is definitely in its infancy stages, but we're just, you got to start somewhere, and this is what we're doing. And that's pretty much what all these meetings were about, you know, starting. Moving forward.
How long are we talking about as far as a time frame on that deal with Yukon Energy?
Well, a deal itself, I'm not sure of. Hopefully within a year or two. But they are currently working on a project that it would plug into nicely that's out of the Moon Lake area. So it kind of fits in nicely with what they're already doing, which saves a lot of time and energy. But
nice
but
one.
It's a possibility. It could be a reality within 10 years.
All right, Reba, thank you so much for the breakdown.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a good one.
That was a discussion with Reba Hilton from the Skagway Assembly. She was part of a 6-member delegation that made the trip to Whitehorse last week to discuss tourism and other economic drivers between the two communities. Southeast Alaska's salmon harvest was over 4 times more than last year's, according to a preliminary report from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game released on Monday. Commercial fishermen in Southeast harvested 58 million salmon across the 5 species this year, almost 7 million chum salmon, 48 million Pinks, 1.5 million Coho, 1.1 million Sockeye, and 2,600,000 King Salmon. That's a marked improvement in harvest for every species. Even the embattled Southeast King Salmon had a commercial harvest increase of more than 16,000 fish. In total, commercial salmon fishermen in the region caught and sold 44 million more salmon than last year. Even taking into account the odd year pink salmon peaks, this year's pink salmon harvest was more than double 2019's Southeast Alaska pink salmon catch. The preliminary ex-vessel value of the 2021 salmon fishery in Southeast was over $132 million this year, more than double last year's preliminary ex-vessel value for the salmon fishery. That breaks a three-year streak of dropping ex-vessel values for Southeast's salmon fishery. Price per pound was also up across all five species this year in Southeast, according to the preliminary report. That was true for many other salmon fisheries in the state. In Bristol Bay, the price per pound for sockeye jumped 250% from 2020's preliminary price. ADF&G reports that the statewide salmon harvest, both by numbers of fish and by weight, was the third highest on record, and this year's statewide salmon harvest was almost double last year's. The statewide ex-vessel value of almost $644 million is the third highest reported since the mid-1970s. A Bristol Bay health executive fired last year after suggesting the coronavirus was a political conspiracy is now running Ketchikan's tribal health clinic. As KRBD's Eric Stone reports, tribal officials say they have full confidence in the seasoned executive.
Leisha Scottford was chief operating officer for the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation until March 2020. That's when the Dillingham-based executive emailed colleagues downplaying the pandemic and suggesting it was a government conspiracy. Her views were swiftly condemned, and she was fired soon afterwards. Earlier this year, Scottford was hired to lead Ketchikan Indian Community's health clinic. KIC Tribal Administrator Randy Williams says Scottford was hired by the previous administrator. Williams took over the job last month, but he told KRBD he has confidence in her as the tribe's health clinic administrator, overseeing health care for Ketchikan's Alaska Native community.
You know, everybody's attitude changed a little bit, right? I mean, I got to admit, even mine changed a little bit. You know, at first we're thinking, you know, how grievous is this pandemic that's happening? Because it wasn't really attacking us here in Ketchikan as much. And then all of a sudden, everybody knew what it meant. And I think, you know, I think Leisha now knows what it means and would have a significantly different opinion about COVID, like we all do.
Scottford did not return phone and email messages left Friday. The tribe's elected leader referred most questions about Scottford's employment to the tribal administrator. Tribal Council President Gloria Burns says the day-to-day running of tribal government is up to the administrator.
Tribal Council was not involved in hiring that person. The hiring of Leisha, who comes with a lot of experience, but that she was hired by administration.
Burns added that Ketchikan's federally recognized tribe takes COVID-19 seriously and strictly enforces mitigation measures. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
For KHNS News, I'm Mike Swayze. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also subscribe to or follow KHNS News anywhere you get your podcasts.